Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the halachas that relate to our daily learning of Torah, Siman Chav Zayin, the 27th section of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. There are four concepts that we're going to look at. It's a very small section. Number one is, what is the obligation of learning Torah? Number two, when? Number three, what? And number four, how? Let's jump straight in from the top. Concept number one, what is the obligation of learning Torah? We learn from a pasuk, Vagisa boi v'yomam v'alala, you shall contemplate it, you shall think about it, you shall be immersed in it day and night, that there is a daily obligation of learning of Torah. Interestingly enough, most people do not know where that pasuk comes from, but it is from the first perek of Sefer Yehoshua, which makes a lot of sense, because this is the first time the Torah has been complete and is now being described by the next generation after the receiving of the entire Torah in its posterity. Vagisa boi, you will study it. You will contemplate it, yomam v'layla. So that's, as soon as we finish the Torah, that's the obligation of learning of the Torah itself. Let's look at some basic questions. Who is included in this responsibility? This is a mitzvah which is predominantly upon men. What about women? This is a very complex and fascinating topic in and of itself, is the chiyuv of Talmud Torah for women as well. There are many distinctions which are made, some distinctions between the written Torah and the oral Torah. Now, those who say the woman is obligated in the written, learning of the written Torah, Tanakh, perhaps less so in the oral Torah. There are distinctions which are also made between learning and teaching. The distinctions between the times that we live in which women are educated, and most of history in which women in general were not afforded education up till very recently in human history. There are many different distinctions which are made. Suffice to say, according to many poskim today, women who have the opportunity to, the intellectual opportunity to, and the time to, are obligated or may opt in to learn Torah, and certainly that's why they would say the Birkas HaTorah before learning a Torah, and those who have the capacity, whether it's time or intellectual capacity, to be able to do this, and they are schooled to do such, should absolutely be learning Torah as well. However, the chiyuv, the obligation, is not the same as men, which means to say is that a woman who, let's say, is in child-rearing years and is completely taken by everything that comes with that, are not deficient by not studying in the same way that perhaps a man might have the capacity or flexibility to during that time as well. Very interesting question. Let's jump straight into the next things. Does financial standing matter when it comes to learning a Torah? The answer is no. Everybody is obligated to learn. And the Gemara even describes in Masechta Shabbos that Hillel was so poor he was not able to afford the entrance fee at the base midrash, and he one day went to the roof and study and lay there by the sunlight in the snow trying to listen to the shir. And the Gemara tells us that anybody who claims the poverty will have to have a conversation with Hillel to understand that one can study in such circumstances. What about youth or aged? Is there any dispensation? The answer is no. In fact, this is not a college degree that a person gets at the beginning and then goes into industry. Torah is something that people are obligated to their entire life. And so therefore, when they have more time, when more flexibility becomes available, their obligation expands because they have more opportunity as their retirement enters as well. What if I'm just too busy? I just work all the time, there is no time. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch cites the idea that they're a person who cannot learn themselves, whether for intellectual ability or for their inability because of time, they may hire another person, or they may support somebody else to learn with them and have a chelek, have a part of their learning. Isn't this just a bidyeved? Isn't this just a cop-out to outsource? So it's interesting, the Kitzur brings two examples where the Torah seems to indicate, both in the written Torah and the oral Torah, that supporting a person who's learning Torah is considered as equal, if not more important even sometimes, because of enabling that learning. So for instance, the pasuk says, "Smach zvulun betzesecha v'yisachar ba'alecha." Praise, rejoice, O Zvulun, in your going out, that's in your going out to trade, and Yisachar, in your learning in the tents. And Zvulun is put forth first because he is supporting his brother, Yisachar. Similarly, he goes on to quote a Mishnah in Zvachim at the beginning, where it says, Shimon Achi Azariah Omer. This Shimon, the brother of Azariah, would say, and the Mishnah is explained to understand that Azariah was his brother, and his brother supported him, and he is therefore known as Shimon Achi Azariah. And we had this relationship in many of the greats in Klal Yisrael. The Rama had a brother, David, who was supported him until there was such time that his ships crashed at sea. And then at that point in time, the Rambam had to employ himself as a physician. But there are many people as such who in fact, the Sforna, Rav Avadia Sforna, had a brother who supported him. There are many, many indications of this being a practice which has been throughout the centuries. So can I just then outsource it all? So there are two concerns about simply outsourcing. And number one is one needs to be learning by oneself. It's even if one's not so busy, one can still do both, which means one needs to be able to take the time to learn oneself, have a minimal amount of learning, certainly, and day and night, and also support others as well. Number two, another concern is this isn't like paying off out of guilt, which means, you know, I'll pay $500 a year and that's going to be it. That doesn't work. $100 a year doesn't really make the cut to support anybody in learning in that respect. We're talking about supporting somebody in learning in the way that one is employing somebody, right? That one is giving them the wherewithal to be able to do this, not just the wherewithal to get by on a shoestring budget. And the third of all is it's important to realize that one can outsource the obligation in a certain degree, but that does not replace the education that one is lacking at home, the example one is leading for one's children, and just simply living a life which is reflecting of the values learned in the Torah. So it's a wonderful thing to support others, but it should not overshadow the actually living a life which is reflected in learning Torah and having that as part of the predominant way that one has a conversation. Just the other day, I stopped at a gas station, somebody called over and asked who I was, and then exchanged a devout Torah with me. I was in the barber salon the other day, and somebody was saying a devout Torah, and then the barber asked a question. It's our currency. It's who we are. And if we're not part of that, we're losing out, even if perhaps we may be able to support in terms of getting the schar. Second question, when should this be done? What is the ideal time to learn? The Kitzur says right after Shacharis in the morning, every single morning. What if I need to rush out? So he said you should at least try to have one pasuk, one mishnah that one learns before, one halacha before one runs out. As well. And come back to the kviyas when possible. What happens if I got kids, I got a commute? When is it realistic to find time? So it's really not possible always in the morning, certainly in today's mornings with commutes and extended commutes, as to be able to get there. However, the Kisra says the most important thing is to have a kviyas, to have a fixed time. If one doesn't have a fixed time or a fixed project, one is going to waste that time. And especially today where there are millions of commercials that are vying for our attention, clicks and subscriptions, that want to waste our entire life with making their agenda our agenda, we should have the agenda as to what we do, when we do it, and be able to be fixed and clicked in for that as well. Question is, now the next concept is what? What should I be learning? What is it important to be learning? So the Kisra says two priorities. Number one, halachas one needs in a daily life. And number two, midrashim and musar, which will help sublimate one's animal instincts. So those are two very important basics in the staple of Jewish learning. Are there any suggestions where to start? So the Kitzur actually makes a suggestion of learning a particular sefer, and that is the Chok Li Yisrael, which was arranged by the Arizal and was edited by the Chida, which is a daily segment of Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara, Zohar, Halacha, and Musar. But again, today, thank God there are so many options as to that learning as well. It's important to notice that if you're listening to this right now, you're doing that. You're learning one halacha a day, at least many halachas within this, which is an incredible thing. I will make a comment, and that's important to notice the distinction between listening and learning. Listening is really important, especially for those who spend a lot of time commuting and busy with things. It is amazing to be able to utilize that time. However, it's important not to lose sight of the fact that all of us have been endowed with the capacity to learn, which means opening up a sefer, reading it, interpreting it, understanding it, and digesting it. That should not be lost in one's life. One needs to have a place for learning, not just listening to the learning as well, which is another way of learning. It's auditory learning, but it's important to be able to actually work through the material and get stuck at roadblocks in the ideas and work one's way through them. Finally, last question is, how does one learn? Are there any pointers about how to learn Torah? The Kizer says, not so many, but we need to make sure to have respect for what one's learning. We'll see that in the next topic. And also, it should be read and articulated. So one shouldn't just be thinking in one's head. One shouldn't just be whispering. One should be saying it out loud and articulate it. Why is this important? That he quotes the pasuk, "Lo yamush sefer Torah zemi picha." The Torah will not be taken away, will not melt away from our mouths. Which means to say, if we articulate it, it will never leave us. What happens if I don't understand or I don't fully understand? We are being promised in this pasuk, as the Kitzur points out, that we will receive the reward in the world to come for having articulated Torah, even if we don't fully understand it as well. What should I be careful about when learning? One should be careful not to leave a sefer open when one takes a break. Why is this? That's because it's called kosher l'shichcha. It leads to forgetfulness. What is the meaning of that? So there's two understandings of this. Number one is it shows my disinterest. This is not a priority in my life. Number two is, Kabbalistically, that spiritually this is going to cause harm. Either way that it's understood, one should be careful not to do this. This is simply an expression of respect for one's learning. With this, we close and we move into respect for Sorim in the next Sim. And have a wonderful and meaningful